Beatitudes. Oh, chapter 5. That's 5. Yeah, it's 5. Yeah, I've got the Bible open at 5. Yeah, do 5. It's much better.
Yeah, verses 1 to 12, the Beatitudes. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Hallelujah.
We pray that the Lord will teach us and instruct us through his word. Well, a number of people were asked if they could describe their job from their point of view. Rather than being told what your job is, in your job description, how would the employees describe their job? Here's some of the responses they got. Someone wrote, "I read things that don't matter and then write papers saying that they do matter for points that don't matter in order to get a job doing something totally unrelated." Their job? They're a student, yes, absolutely. Here's another one. "Take numbers on pieces of paper, rearrange them, and put them on different pieces of paper." That has to be a tax accountant. Yes, specifically a tax accountant. If you've ever done any taxes, you know that is horribly true. All right, one more. "Manage waste recycling, promotion, and sales." An antiques dealer. Last week we had the problem of the sort of Messiah Jesus is going to be for us. How it's difficult for us because he's not necessarily the Messiah that we would have thought up, that we would have wanted. And this week we're going to look at what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, what the job description is of being a follower of Jesus. And rather like the crazy descriptions that we had earlier of how people see their job, we're going to see that it's going to be quite different what it's actually going to involve to what we would maybe put in for ourselves. Now, if we were to concoct a job description for a Christian, what sort of person you're going to be like, we might come up with something like J.B. Phillips came up with many years ago. And he wrote this. He said, this is what we might well come up with. If we could have the PowerPoint up there. There we go. Oh, there's the passage. Ooh. There we are. J.B. Phillips wrote our version. "Happy are the pushy, for they get on in the world. Happy are the hard-boiled, for they never let life hurt them. Happy are those who complain, for they get their own way in the end. Happy are the blasé, for they never worry about their sins. Happy are the slave drivers, for they get results. Happy are the knowledgeable people of the world, for they know their way around. Happy are the troublemakers, for they make people take notice of them. That's a person, that's a Christian who gets things done, who gets faith done, who gets Christianity done. And it's very pragmatic. Pragmatism is all about judging whether things are right or wrong by the end result, what you're trying to achieve. So the practical solutions. How do you solve it? How do you get it done? Forget about the morals and the ethics of it. The problem is with pragmatism is that you only know the outcomes later. There's no wisdom attached to it because there's no experience. It's all about what the end result is. And we never really know the end result and the side effects. The Beatitudes are from Jesus saying, well, you don't know the outcome, but this is the way. This is how you do it. This is what you're going to have as guidance to be God's person. So let's look through the Beatitudes. Poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that doesn't sound quite right for us, does it? We don't want to be poor in spirit. But Jesus said, yes, be poor in spirit. Don't think of yourself as full and knowing it all and have it all. You've got to have that sense of desperation for God, knowing that our spirit in itself is in poverty. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's a call for us to really feel for the things that people around us are going through. Feeling their pain, caring about their pain, and mourning with them. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is, well, we know so many things about people parodying Christians being meek and mild. Like Jesus was meek and mild. Nothing about being mild. Being meek is about being controlled. It's about being strong and having that strength under control. Rather like a horse that's well trained. It's got all the strength and it's got the power. And it's going to win the Grand National. It's quite a race, wasn't it? Anyone else watch it? It was a fantastic finish. Strength, controlled. And the jockey got that horse going just at the right time. Third coming into the last fence. No, not really doing so well. And then, bang, puts the accelerator down. Pff, horse goes away. Meek. Meek. It's the essence of the word. Controlled strength. We'd like other people to be like that as well, wouldn't we? We'd like them to be strong, but controlled. We'd also like other people to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We like other people to have integrity. And to really want more integrity and have, even in the detail, they're doing what's right because they love what's right. But Jesus is saying for Christians, you're going to be blessed if you hunger and thirst for the right things of God, his rightness. Oh, blessed are the merciful. It's another thing we'd like other people to be. And these Beatitudes also serve as a description of what we want others to be like. And it's turned on us. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Like meeting people who say there's a real holiness about them. Feeling a real purity about them. It's good, isn't it? We love it in them. And we're to see it in us as well. And then blessed are the peacemakers. That they will be called children of God. We love peacemakers. We love people. That's peace, not in terms of stopping conflict all the time. But those who work to make sure the bits of society, the bits of life, fit together and work well. Peacemakers can be working in a loud, noisy, bustly environment, bringing peace because they're getting things to work together, always working to help people to get together, to understand each other, to resolve conflicts, to resolve issues in life, working for peace. They'll be children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted. So righteous and persecuted because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's what we'd like others to be like. And what Jesus said is a description of the ideal Christian. Right at the beginning of his ministry, just come from the temptations in the wilderness, he's setting out his stall. People say, so what do you want from us? What do you want us to be like? There it is. And that is good news. Because even the most dysfunctional people could look at this and say, do you know, if that's what you want, I can work towards that. It's good news for Zacchaeus, the spineless. It's good news for the Samaritan woman. With all her disastrous marriages, she's got something to work on that's going to lead her closer to God. And blind Bartimaeus, the most annoying man in town, for him, this was the way forward. He could do that as well. This brings hope to those who've lost their way in life. Lost your way is how you ought to be, how you ought to live, what sort of person you ought to construct yourself to be. Well, here it is. Hope for you. Our problem with Jesus is that we find this description difficult. Great for others, tough for us. Defines who we ought to be. It's not something that's easily sold. You're not going to find people are going to be clamoring to hear more from you. But it's what Jesus calls us to be. And it changes the world around us. I'll tell you a story that was reported on 10 years after the event, reported in the Guardian newspaper, amongst other publications, and I'll give you the sort of an amalgam of a few of them, but it's mainly based on the Guardian report of it. And it's to do with something that happened in the Amish community. The Amish are a group that came out of, I think, the 19th century, and they decided to keep things as they were in their culture. They don't have phones, they don't have cars. There's so many things that they give up, they're not going to modernize. They don't have zips or anything like that. That's a later invention. They've kept life simple, but they've done it because they're a Christian community, and their aim is to be radical disciples of Jesus. On the 2nd of October 2006, Charles Roberts, who's age 32, he's a husband of three young children. He walked into a one-room schoolhouse deep in Pennsylvania, Amish country, and he tied up 10 young girls. He told them that he was angry at God because his baby daughter had died, she died despite his prayers. When the troopers came, he fired at each of the 10 girls and then shot himself dead. Five died and five survived. Wonder how we want the Amish to respond to this. What's in our gut to say, now that's happened, this is how you ought to react. Well, the Amish are determinedly pacifist, and they take the Beatitudes at face value. And so mercy, forgiveness, peacemaking, mourning at the pain of others are central to their way of living their Christian lives. And so the Amish school shooting was all the more shocking and still strikes a chord today when people hear the story. Their response then. Within hours, the Amish announced that they had forgiven the man. A decision by the community to forgive the killer and his family, they say, was not as simple as it seems to be. It's not a once and done thing, said one woman. It's a lifelong process. And so began the practice of forgiveness and living out the Beatitudes. An Amish man named Henry arrived at the Roberts home with a message. Families did not see the couple as an enemy. Rather, they saw him as parents who were grieving at the loss of their child too. And Henry put his hand on the shoulder of Terry Roberts, the mother of the killer, and put his hand on the shoulder of the husband of her and called him a friend. on the days of the killings, members of this community, the Nickel Mines community, took food to the killer's widow. And 6 days after the shooting, families who had just buried their daughters attended the funeral of the killer, Roberts. The killer's funeral, it's a small family gathering, but there was a mass of media. And from behind a white shed emerged 30 Amish, including the parents of the victims. And they spread in front of the media, their backs turned, forming a wordless shield. Parents whose daughters had died at the hands of their son approached the couple after the burial and offered their condolences for the loss. Money from the funds that poured in from around the world was diverted to the killer's family, even though the victims faced huge medical bills. They embraced Robert's parents as part of their community. Terry Roberts, the gunman's mother, has become a friend to many of the Nickel Mines families who are affected by what her son did. She's invited to gatherings and often visits Rosanna King, who was 6 when Charles Roberts shot her. She's confined to a wheelchair, unable to talk, fed through a tube. She has seizures. When Terry Roberts underwent treatment for stage 4 breast cancer in the December of the year that of that event, one of the girls who survived the massacre helped clean her home before she returned from the hospital. One person commented that the ripple effect of forgiveness is endless. As we try to understand the Beatitudes, what they mean for us, they are not platitudes. They are how to live a life which is blessed by God. The aim is not happiness. That's just a little too trite a word to use. Happy are those. It's about being blessed by God. It leads to happiness. And it leads to being blessed. It leads to repairing a broken world. But it is radical. And over this coming week, let these Beatitudes equip you for what you're going to face. For me, it came to me first thing in the morning when I was writing that email. My hackers are onto you. They're going to get you back for this. And I thought, yes, even in a simple thing like that, and a fairly anonymous thing, I am being called to follow a different way, which is not that radical at that time, but it's the Jesus way, and it is world-changing. It might be this week that in your front line, where you're living out your Christian life, you can be a peacemaker. That peacemaker is helping the world to function better. And it might be just in the way you treat people and the way you're dealing with people at work, the way you're engaging with a neighbor, the way you're involved in the community, even your place in your family. You're trying to make things, and you can make things work better and help people function better. Blessed are the peacemakers. Do it. Do it in the power of Jesus. Do it to serve him. It might be that you need to show meekness this week. You've got the strength. You've got the power. You know what you're doing. You've been there before. You know the way forward. And you're under pressure. And in response to your pressure, can you show that meekness? Control in your strength. Control in your response, control in how you exert your strength when you're under pressure. Harness it for something positive. And maybe it's the purity this week, which is the challenge. Easy to cut corners with our decision making. Easy to cut corners when we're trying to decide what the right thing to do is. Easy because it does make things simpler. Call to purity. It might be this week that on your front line, what you're required to do is do the right thing because it's good, simply because it's what God wants, simply because it honors him, even if it makes your life a little bit more complicated. Call to purity, attitudes informing us for our week ahead. Have a look at that list. Have a look at the Beatitudes. Let them challenge you during this week as you seek to live out the ways of God.